Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., your loyal host and producer. Opening up the program with our theme song, No One Else, composed and performed by Mr. Gregory Stafford. And as we proceed with another edition of Spiritual Perspectives, we're going to continue our discussion of the power of making amends. How many of you have ever found yourselves afraid to make amends? You blew it, you messed up, you didn't have the courage to face yourself or the other person. I was sharing last week that it really does take courage to do that. One of the scriptures that we looked at that addresses that very topic came from Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Now, so that we can be on the same page as we continue with this discussion, let's go ahead and define the word reconcile. We all have a pretty good general understanding of what the word means, but let's nail it down. And you know how I like to do that. I prefer that rather than either of us, any of us, come up with our own definition and then we try to decide on one, since that could be time consuming, let's go ahead and just go by what's been given in at least one or two dictionaries. Very often, the way they come up with those definitions anyway is by doing the research to find out how people actually use the words that are being, that these dictionary makers are defining. They don't just come up with a definition, say, this is the way we want the word to be defined. That's not what they do. They undergo extensive research, talking with people, reading materials, etc., looking at context, etc., and they find out how people use the words. And they'll come up with the usage that is most popular, and they'll normally list it first in the list of definitions. The second most popular would be listed second, and so on. And very often, not always, but very often, they'll give you some examples of how some of those words can actually be used in a sentence. How many of you remember the fun we had learning about how to use a word in a sentence when we were in elementary school? Man, I had a blast. I enjoyed that thoroughly. But anyway, here we go. Reconcile. It is a verb. And it basically means to restore friendly relations between. You're looking at synonyms for that. It has to do with settling one's differences, making one's peace, making up, bearing the hatchet, reconcile, to restore friendly relations between. Another definition of it is to cause to coexist in harmony, to make or show to be compatible. Another definition is to make one account consistent with another, especially by allowing for transactions begun but not yet completed. We know that's not the one we're looking for, right? The third one, because that has to do with numbers, finances. We want to take a look at those first two, restoring friendly relations between and causing to coexist in harmony. Another definition that I've shared in the past has to do with removing malice and hostility from the relationship, bringing peace into the relationship. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about reconciling or being reconciled. So back to Matthew 5 and 24. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Have friendly relations between you and your brother restored. Do that first. And after you've taken care of that, then go and offer your gift. That's important. Very important. Priorities. We talked about that last week. The priorities that God places are the priorities we need to place in our relationships, in our lives. The offering taken to the altar is important. Remember, Jesus did come back to that offering. Then come back and give your offering. Then come back. Then, indicating that something else should have taken place first. What was it? The reconciling of yourself to the other person. The restoring of friendly relations. Now, I know some people might be thinking, well, what about our relationship with God? Are we really restoring relationships with God, our relationship with God, when we were all born as sinners anyway? And never did not come out having a really, really a friendship with God, a true peaceful relationship with God. Well, I definitely understand that. There are a number of ways that we can approach that. And just two of those ways would be to think about the first human being, the very first. And the very first did have peaceful, friendly relations, loving relation with God. And so all the rest of us humans came from the very first two humans, Adam and Eve. They sort of stood in proxy for us. They had a beautiful relationship. It was messed up. And as a result, because we were, so to speak, in Adam's loins, and that eventually he would begin the reproduction process by having sexual intercourse with his wife, having children who would eventually have more children, who would eventually have more children. So ultimately, we all came from Adam and Eve. And so our relationship with God is messed up because their relationship, our ancestors, our ancestral parents' relationship became messed up. And so as a race, and when I say race, I'm talking about the human race. As a race of people, we need to have our relationship with God restored. Another way to look at it is this. Not all babies have a malicious relationship with God. And when I say babies, I mean babies. From the day that they're born, 3 days after they've been born, 30 days after they've been born, 3 years after they've been born. Might be said, hey, you know, what kind of relationship did they have with God at all, since most of them don't have any idea that God even exists? And that's a valid point, I think. But if the child is so young that God doesn't even hold the person accountable for how that person handles the relationship with God, can it be said that the person has a relationship at all during those years that God does not hold them accountable for how they handle the relationship? So we definitely need to have our relationship as humans restored, the friendly nature of the relationship with God restored, so that just as Adam and Eve used to have the honor, the privilege, the beauty, the joy, the pleasure of walking with God in the garden, before they sinned, we need to get to the point where we're able to walk with God in peace and with joy on a daily basis. Now, notice that I also mentioned last week that when we take a look at reconciling from the relationship from this vantage point, it has to do with a person who, realizes that they have offended their brother, or we could say their brother or their sister has been offended by them. So let's just put it this way so that we're all on the same page. I have offended my brother, or at least because of the way my brother perceives something that I've said or done. My brother is offended by me. I need to go to my brother and be reconciled. Now, let's look at this from a different vantage point today. I want us to look at something else that the Lord Jesus said about reconciling. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 18, and let's begin at verse 15. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. If your brother sins against you, right there we see the difference. In Matthew chapter 5, it was me offending my brother. This time, it's my brother sinning against me. To put it another way, when we looked at Matthew chapter 5, our brother was on the receiving end of the wrongdoing. In this case, we are on the receiving end of the wrongdoing. And so they're saying, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Now he goes on to tell us what needs to be done if our brother to whom we go to be reconciled will not listen. But I don't want to focus on that part of it, because what I want to do for the sake of this conversation, this discussion, is just simply point out the two vantage points of reconciling when the relationship has been damaged. Sometimes I'm the one who causes the problem with my brother, with my sister. I need to go to my brother, my sister, and be reconciled. I need to initiate the reconciliation process. But at other times, my brother has sinned against me. And I'm still told, you go, show him his fault. So when you look at that from the various angles, you're on the receiving end of the wrongdoing. That person needs to come to you. They're going to be, this is what it comes down to. There are going to be times when you will need to go to the other person and initiate the reconciliation process. There will be other times when that other person needs to come to you to initiate the reconciliation process. For example, when we looked at Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24, just as for an example, I said, you've done something that has offended your brother. Go to him. Well, in that same scenario, you're offering your gift. A gift is being offered at the altar, and someone remembers their brother or sister has something against them. Well, in that case, if you're the one who was on the receiving end of the offensive behavior, then this is a case of your brother, your sister coming to you. Yeah, you're not always going to be the one responsible for initiating the process of reconciliation. Sometimes the other person is responsible for initiating that all-important act of initiating reconciliation. Whether we're talking about two married people, whether we're talking about parent and child, siblings. And speaking of parent and child, I do want to interject this too. Parents, don't allow pride in the form of, well, I'm a higher rank than my child. I don't have to go to my child to apologize for anything and fix anything. My child just needs to accept that. Go on. No. Mm-mm. No. Love your children enough that you're willing to be humble enough to acknowledge within yourself that you've done your child wrong. And once you've acknowledged it within yourself that you've done your child wrong, go to your child and admit to your child that you did the child wrong. Don't make excuses. Don't try to minimize. Don't try to justify. Just be strong. Be courageous. And just say, I was wrong. And I really do apologize for that. Will you please forgive me? That approach is so much better than you walking around with your chest stuck out because you've decided that because you're talking about your child, it's not necessary for you to go and initiate the process of reconciliation. It is important. And in some cases, it's even more important than it would be for you to go to a friend of yours who is your peer. You're helping to shape your child and your child's view of the world and how people work in the world. Now, it's one thing for you to say, hey, you know what? I had to apologize and because it was the right thing to do. And at a later date, not then, at a later date, when you've given your child time to absorb fully what has taken place, the wrong you did, and the great way you made amends. Later, maybe 3 days later, 5 days later, 2 days later, a family discussion. You all are talking about the importance of making up when something has gone wrong in the relationship. At that point, let them know now, we need to realize this is the way we do it in our home with each other. But in the rest of the world, you may not find many people who will come to you and admit they're wrong and apologize for it. And paint the scenarios for them. Let them know some people might come to you and they might, instead of just being open and just being straightforward, just honestly admitting they did wrong and just accepting them, just accepting that they did wrong and apologizing for it. They'll start making excuses. They'll admit they did wrong, but they'll start making excuses for the wrong they did. Help them understand this is the way it works in the world. It may be this way at work. You may have this kind of problem at school. But in our home, let's do it this way. I tell you what, your children will probably appreciate you deeply. For number one, setting the example for how it should be done. And especially when I say should be, I'm thinking about this. Genuine apologies. And that's why I say no excuses. And really and truly wanting your child to be okay. To recover from whatever harm may have been done as a result of the wrong that occurred. Setting the example. And as a result, and in addition, you know, as you go about the business of letting them know some of the other ways that it works in the world, let them know that, hey, they may have some school peers, some classmates who may do it the way you all do it at home. They sincerely want to make amends for what they did wrong. On the other hand, they may have some who will come and apologize. But they'll make excuses, they'll start justifying, and you can tell when they do that, they're just trying to do damage control. And their damage control is more important to them than just fixing the relationship, reconnecting, amending, making amends. Also let them know that many, many people will never come to them at all to apologize at all. And share with them how they can have a sense of self-worth that they stick to so mightily that even when people fail to come to them to confess their wrong and make amends, they still feel good about themselves. And as a result, they're still able to heal. They're able, as a result, to keep moving forward in life. Be back in a few.